Off the ball.
Rugby.
She's like, yeah, it's a long time since we accepted moral victories in Munster, considering the history and the success of the club. Players won't feel that way. They would have been going out to get a victory. They did get 2 points, which, you know, is no mean feat considering who they were playing.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Balls Football Daily.
Hello and welcome along to Wednesday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, we put the tin hat on Ireland's World Cup campaign as they draw nil-all with North Macedonia. Bussin Lowell makes his debut alongside James Abankwa for the boys in green, who now turn their attention to Euro 2028. And with all 48 teams now confirmed for this summer's tournament, we bring you news of all the sides that have qualified, but Italy miss out once again. But first to events last night at the Aviva Stadium, where Ireland drew nil-all with North Macedonia in the friendly that nobody really wanted to play. Troy Parrott came close to the scoring and hit the post and had the ball in the net twice, but the offside flag denied him on both occasions, although the second one would have counted if VAR was in use. James Abankwa and Bussin Lowell came on for their senior debuts in the second half. Harvey Vale made his first appearance in Dublin after featuring off the bench in Prague. Mark Travers replaced Queeving Kelleher in goal in the second half. Seamus Coleman came off in the second half. That got the biggest cheer of the night. It was his 79th cap. Will it be his last? Well, there were a total of 17 substitutions between the sides in the game. Afterwards, Ben Symes spoke to Hamer Halgrimsson, who said it was a strange game.
Yeah, it was a strange game. First of all, it was just a strange game. Obviously, on the back end of both teams losing out on the chance to go to the World Cup, started slowly. They wanted to kind of control the rhythm in the game. They killed the rhythm, played a lot back, didn't attack us, so it was kind of frustrating and difficult to go and press them because they stretched the team so much. Second half for me was much better. We grew in the first half. We were better and better in the first half, and second half we dominated the game from first minute to the last one. I think we had 15 shots at goal, really good chances. We only needed to convert one, but it didn't happen, and that's what happens sometimes. But really pleased with the attitude of the players. They gave everything. They fought. They won the duels. They pressed in the end, and it was just a matter of time when we would score. And yeah, I think the referees were too happy that this game was over. They didn't give more than 7 minutes of extra time. Should have been probably 15 minutes with all the stoppages in the game. But that's it. And now this chapter is closed. We move on to the next one. But I think we now, and the players now realise what we can do. And now Czechia is winning Denmark in extra time. So how close we were is probably closer than many thought. I feel like this team is just a matter of time when we win groups and win teams that are much higher than us on the FIFA ranking. I feel like we can play whatever team that comes and at least give them a very hard game.
Bussin Lowell impressed in his first cameo in a green jersey. He says it was great to finally get his first senior cap.
Yeah, no, just happy to finally get it done. Obviously, like you said, playing for every age group and finally making it to the big stage. I'm just grateful and thanks to God for making it happen.
Just under 40,000 people turned out at Lansdowne Road for the game. Jason Malumbi says it's great to have the fan support.
The Irish fans are unbelievable. Honestly, they're incredible. And I feel really, really sad for them. You know, the people that made the effort to go over to Prague, obviously not coming away with the result we wanted. They're unbelievable, and to experience, sort of big games for Ireland in front of them fans and the travelling fans is unbelievable. They're amazing.
And with assistant coach John O'Shea yet to sign a new deal as part of the coaching team, he says it's a privilege to work and coach with the national team.
Can I ask you on a personal level? Obviously, Hamer spoke to us the other day about signing the new deal and the excitement of the future, and it's something to carry on with you. I presume you share that same excitement,
yeah,
kind of looking forward to
it. All I'm on about. No, listen, without a doubt, because listen, it's what I love. It's what I've always loved doing, being involved with Ireland, and that ambition to listen, it's the next best thing to playing, to be involved with this group of boys. the desire they have, the levels that they're reaching now, and to keep pushing them. That's what we want to do, and that's what we want. We want to keep building that relationship we have now with the fans, but that ultimately comes with a bit more pressure on us to keep winning games, and that's what we're looking forward to doing.
Finneas Az was at the centre of most of Ireland's best attacking play before he came off, and Heimir Hallgrímsson says he's growing into one of Ireland's key attacking threats.
Yeah, I think he's first of all growing in confidence. That's what we see within this camp. He's taking more leadership role, especially in possession. He's now one of our key players, finding the correct pocket. So he's an exceptionally clever footballer, and he's now adding skills into it. And as we play more together with him playing with Troy and Gio, they are now finding the strength in each other, and that's what grows. They understand each other better. And if you've been watching the season for him, he's been flying in his club, and have now game after game, he's probably the best man on the pitch. So he's growing as an individual, but he's also growing in our team.
And with speculation around whether Seamus Coleman will call it a day or not, his former teammate Glenn Whelan joined Colin Buhig and Ger Gilroy on Off the Ball Breakfast this morning. He said the Donegal man is still at the top of his game, but recovering physically is the real challenge for the 37-year-old.
Can I just ask you about Seamus Coleman, just the footballer? We had that conversation with us before he came on, and I like hearing about just the technical aspects of a footballer, you know, especially with characters as big as Coleman, because we always talk about the kind of mental side of his game and the work ethic and the teamwork and his commitment levels. But like, just your thoughts on Seamus Coleman as a modern right back.
Yeah, no, Shamey over the years, he was more, you'd look at him, he was an attacking fullback. He was a coil walker, he'd get forward, he'd overlap, he'd underlap, he'd be there putting crosses in. And then defensively, no one really got the better of him. He was one for getting stuck in. He's not the biggest, but he's got a football brain of where he needs to get his body in and when he needs to drop off. So, like I said, with Shamey over the last 3 or 4 years, I'm sure he's had to look after himself a little bit more regarding being a little bit stiff when he wakes up from certain training sessions. The technical and tactical side will always be there. It's just when the body gives up.
Yeah.
Up and you're probably just not as sharp as you want to be. With Shamey, obviously, I'm sure he's a shoulder to lean on for Jake, who's playing his role at the minute, and now giving him pointers and giving him tips of what he should be doing and learning his trade. But Jake will never be Shamey. Now there's one-offs, and Shamey's been that for Ireland.
Will he be a manager, do you think? Is that automatically part of his future, given the character that he is, or is it actually something, a different path that he might go down?
Yeah, no, it's difficult. I think everyone sees this leader when he steps on the green grass across the White Lions. But Shamey's a different character away from that. He's, like I said, he's a family man, and obviously not just his kids, his family back in Donegal. Whatever Shamey wants to do, I'm sure he'll be really good at. But no, it's difficult on the other side. It's not something that you can just fall out of the playing and then fall into the coaching. I know he's done a little bit in helping out with the Everton side when he's not being involved, but if that's what he wants to do, there's no better man to reach the very top.
Remember, you can listen to Off the Ball Breakfast each and every weekday morning from 7:30 on the Go Loud app and on YouTube. And last night on Off the Ball, our match co-commentator Stewie Byrne spoke to Eoin Sheehan after the game. The former Shelburne midfielder feels this Ireland team is currently in a good place, despite missing out on the World Cup.
What we can say is that Armenia away was the low point. Probably performance-wise, Portugal at home is possibly the high point. That you know, opening salvo where Ireland clearly had something fresh in their legs and they had kind of a new energy about them that nearly got them to within one game of the World Cup. So if they're either ends of the scale, what's the true Ireland? Where on that scale is the true representation of where this Republic of Ireland team is at? And feel free to pick a moment, feel free to pick a game or a section of a game that shows us where you think Ireland are at.
Oh, do you know what came in? Well, I'll tell you what came straight to my head. It was the first half against Czech Republic on Thursday. That's where we are. Yeah, that's where we're at. This high line, this high energy game coupled with good possession when we get the ball back, but not possession for possession's sake, looking to try and create opportunities. using the likes of like Benne and where he's good, you know, down that right hand side, kind of trying to play little passes into try parallel, all of that kind of good stuff. I think we are very much a team that is, we are only as good as how our back four, three or five play, okay? And I think that has been how our back three or back five, I'm going to keep saying back three or back five because it operates between a three and a five, but anyway, how they play and how they assert themselves on the game is hugely important to how we play overall. And when I looked at the game the other night, the Czech Republic game, the first half, all I kept seeing was this response, this high line that that Collins, O'Shea, Jake O'Brien kind of squeezing up as soon as the ball went forward. That set the precedent for everything, because when they squeeze up high, they're pushing the midfield in front of them up high, and then all of a sudden we're winning the ball back up high and we're pinning the opposition in. And that's ultimately where I think the success for this Ireland team is going to be, because we have that player in Troy Parrott that can find something. You know, he's a I suppose the artful dodger, isn't he? He's that kind of player that can just nick in somewhere, that can create something. And then if you add to all of this, a returning Evan Ferguson, and all of a sudden you're in a hell of a place, like, you know. And I'm quite excited for Ferguson to get back into this team, because I would imagine he must be chomping at the bit.
That's available now to listen back to in your OTB Football podcast feed. Elsewhere yesterday, some positive news for some of the Irish underage teams. The under-21s beat Kazakhstan 1-0 away from home, thanks to a late goal from Oisin Gallagher in the European Championship qualifiers. It keeps their slim qualification hopes alive. The Ireland under-17s have qualified for a second successive World Cup, thanks to a 7-0 win away to Slovakia, which sealed their place in Qatar. And if you're looking for more live football this week, our live League of Ireland commentary returns. It's Drogheda United against leaders Bohemians at Sullivan and Lamb Park. It's a 7:45 kickoff. Jonathan Higgins will be joined by Vinnie Perth in the commentary box. Elsewhere last night, Italy failed to qualify for their third World Cup in a row. They lost some penalties against Bosnia-Herzegovina in Zenica.
Wisconsin native Esmer Baraktarevic, the Milwaukee Messi, the New England Revolution homegrown player, turned 21 2.5 weeks ago, can send Bosnia-Herzegovina to the World Cup. And he does! It got underneath Donnarumma! The Italian curse continues. Bosnia and Herzegovina will play in the FIFA World Cup.
Where it finished 1-1 after both normal time and extra time. Moise Kean put Gennaro Gattuso's side ahead in the first half, but defender Alessandro Bastoni was sent off before the break. Bosnia were on top for the second half. They got their equaliser 11 minutes from time when Haris Tabakovic scored, and Esposito and Cristante missed their penalties for Italy. Bosnia scored all four of theirs to reach just a second World Cup. Ireland's conquerors, Czech Republic, will take their place in Group A at the World Cup alongside South Africa, Mexico and South Korea. They beat Denmark in another penalty shootout in Prague to book their ticket to Mexico and the US. It'll be their first time at the tournament since 2006. Graham Potter guided Sweden back to the World Cup after a 3-2 win at home to Poland. Arsenal striker Viktor Gyökeres scored late on to send the Swedes into a group with the Netherlands, Japan and Tunisia. And Turkey will also be there after their 1-0 win over Kosovo in Pristina. Kerem Aktürkoğlu scored the winner for the away side, who haven't played at a World Cup since they finished third in 2002. Axel Tuanzebe scored the goal to send DR Congo to a first World Cup since 1974, when they were known as Zaire. They beat Jamaica 1-0. And finally, Iraq became the 48th and last team to qualify for the World Cup. They beat Bolivia 2-1 in the intercontinental playoff in Mexico. Iraq, whose preparations for Tuesday's playoff had been disrupted by the war in the Middle East, will play in Group I alongside France, Senegal and Norway. Northern Ireland boss Michael O'Neill says he was proud of how his players responded to their World Cup playoff disappointment. They drew 1-1 with Wales in Cardiff in a friendly just days after both sides were beaten in their semi-finals. O'Neill says the reaction and resilience shown by his players was exactly what he wanted to see.
To come away and with the, you know, the age profile of the team and where the team is at this minute in time and not be beaten here was a real positive. And I think in the second half, you know, we had two good chances as well. Goalkeeper makes a great save, and obviously we've the header at the end. So it was a good night's work for us.
Scotland captain Andy Robertson says he's not sure why some fans booed the team after last night's 1-0 loss to Ivory Coast at Everton's Hill Dickinson Stadium. It was their last match before Steve Clarke will name a squad for this summer's World Cup. Robertson feels most supporters are still backing them ahead of their first appearance at a World Cup since 1998.
Fans that were appreciative of what they've seen, appreciative of the team that have took them to a World Cup, and the reception at the end was unbelievable. So it's only a few people. Now, I don't know whether it's just they just want a boo for the sake of it or whatever, because for me, that's not a booing performance.
England boss Thomas Tuchel says the last two friendlies won't define their World Cup campaign. They were beaten 1-0 by Japan last night, which came off the back of a 1-1 draw with Uruguay on Friday. England failed to score, but captain Harry Kane rested at Wembley. Tuchel's been asked if that's a concern should injury hit the striker when they get to this summer's tournament.
Bayern Munich, in the absence of Harry Kane, has not the same threat. No team in the world has the same threat. It's just normal. If top teams rely on top players and top nations rely on top players, that's just absolutely normal.
And former Tottenham boss Tim Sherwood says Roberto De Zerbi's attacking style makes the appointment a risky one because of where they are in the Premier League. Spurs confirmed yesterday the Italian has signed a 5-year deal and he's their third manager of the season. He takes over with the club just 1 point above the relegation zone.
What they need now is a safe pair of hands. This is far from a safe pair of hands, by the way. I still like him. I love his personality. I love the way his teams play. But they can be open. They can get hammered in some games. You can't get hammered now.
That's about all we have time for in today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. I'll be back with more tomorrow.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.